Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Contest closes a week from Tuesday.
And don't forget, those big prizes can be yours just as easily as mine. It's probably the easiest contest that's ever been.
We don't have time to run down the prizes again. Well, hi again, everybody. Welcome to the Bob and Ray Show. Another quarter hour here of fun. And we have good news, and it's rather pleasant news, too, that we had such wonderful reaction to Wallace. Wallace's singing. You remember Wallace is our small assistant. That we have rehired him and dispatched him by a jet aircraft to the West Coast.
You remember yesterday we gave Arthur Schrank 2 tickets to the West Coast? Well, the other one, or half of it, was used by Wallace.
And Arthur Schrank was fit to be tied because he had hoped to take Mrs. Arthur Schrank. So that all went up the flue, I think.
They're out there now, and it's our very great pleasure to call Arthur in for a report on the first appearance of the Bob and Ray Trophy Train for the year 1959.
Mm.
So if you're listening, Arthur, and if all of our communication things are working, come in, please.
Arthur Schrank, ladies and gentlemen, speaking from the rear platform of the Hi, everybody. This is Arthur Schrank speaking from the rear platform of the Bob and Ray Trophy Train that has just pulled into a siding here in San Diego, California. Standing beside me is Mr. Jack Kiner of KFMB. Bob and Ray is CBS voice here in San Diego. And I might point out that all the folks who have gone through the train, hello, everybody. Arthur Schrank. Everyone seems to like the Trophy Train and the little bit of Bob and Ray memorabilia that they see in there. I wonder if I might turn the microphone over now to Mr. Kiner of KFMB and Jack Buddy. I wonder if you could ask some of the folks what they think about it.
I'd be very happy to, Arthur. And first of all, I'd like to thank your employers, Bob and Ray, for selecting KFMB as the kickoff point for the Trophy Train this year. Everyone seems to be particularly pleased with what they've seen as they walk through here for 25 cents. I was speaking with a Mr. Nestor just a minute ago, and he said he would be glad to talk on the radio. Mr. Nestor, what impressed you most about the Trophy Train?
Well, I was quite impressed, Mr. Kiner, with the pictures or duplicates of the Bob and Ray High School diploma. I was quite taken with that.
Uh-huh.
And I have purchased here at the far end of the train a dollar and for a dollar and a quarter, a glossy photo of young Bob and Ray.
Well, it certainly looks different than they do now.
I tell you, though, I might have one criticism. Between the buying of these little tokens and the hot dog, frankfurters and rolls and all, I think expecting a person to spend large part of a $10 bill when they come aboard the Trophy Train.
You've separated yourself from nearly $10.
Well, $8.90. So if a fellow brings along a girlfriend or a child, it's going to run them almost $100.
Run into money. I'm sure that's what Bob and Ray figured. I've had quite a few people comment on the display featuring Ray's nose clip that he used when he first took swimming lessons back when he was a boy. People have looked at that and liked it. Arthur, I think that's the picture here, then, and I understand you're about ready to pull out of the station.
That's right, and Bob and Ray, Wallace looks swell. He's standing on the rear platform now. We're about to say goodbye to San Diego.
Goodbye, Arthur Schrank.
So long, everybody.
Don't be afraid.
Thank you, Wallace.
Goodbye, goodbye. I wish you all a last goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye, I wish you all a last goodbye.
Bye, Bob and Ray. Bye. Goodbye, San Diego. Goodbye, San Diego. Take it away, Bob and Ray.
Thank you, Arthur Schrank, and real thrilling news you had to report today, and our thanks to Jack Kiner out there and KFMB for the warm reception you were given. I think this is going to go over much better than Dave did.
And I'll bet you that Wallace's morale has gone up 1,001%. You can tell by the timbre of his voice.
What is?
Wallace's morale.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really gone sky high. He's singing. He's doing what he always wanted to do.
Well, more power to him, and we'll be calling him the trophy train at its next stop later this week.
Bob, I forget offhand the sponsor of this next particular segment. Can you remember?
Is
it Pistachio? Fenucci? No.
No.
Forget.
I think there was a late buy on this, but I can't remember what it was.
Gee, I'm lost.
Do you want to present it sustaining, or...?
Maybe so. Maybe that would be the only way to do it.
Take check in to see if there's a sponsor for
That's
it.
Right. And rather than list the wrong sponsor and, you know, sure. Well, that's right. All right, theme, please. And now, as a sustaining feature, here is One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled By the Seawall, is taken from book V.I., chapter I-I-X-V-I-I-V-I-I. It's a little after 10 in the morning as we look in on the family now, and we see mother and father preparing to go down by the seawall with a box lunch. And we hear father say,
"Yes, Fanny, a beautiful day for a picnic.
Beautiful day.
Yes, the birds are singing. The rose bushes are trimmed. Everything is ready for an Indian summer.
This is a lovely time of the year, but then there's something sad about it, too.
Well, it's time for Mother Nature to get ready to put a blanket of snow over most of our land.
Oh, you know, you're sitting on the deviled eggs.
Oh, my word.
Hey.
Well, we've got enough picnics out there anyway.
Why don't you look before you sit down anyway, honestly?
I was noticing this morning the path down to the seawall seems to be growing up with weeds and vines.
And turning brown at this time of the year.
But it's a beautiful clear day, nevertheless.
Hey, look, way off. Not a boat?
Looks like a boat, Fanny.
What's that mean? Signal.
Someone just jumped overboard. Looks as if he's trying to swim to shore. I can't see from here.
Hello?
Call a bit louder, Fanny.
Well, I don't have a strong voice. Why don't you call?
Hello out there.
Yes?
We just saw you jump off your boat.
Well, it was sinking.
Yeah. The boat was sinking, Fanny.
Well, I thought that signal meant something like that.
We thought it meant something like
that. Look, I don't want to cause you any trouble, but I just went down the second time.
Could you speak up a little louder, please?
I'm saying, I've gone down twice now, and I think I read somewhere where the third time, you know, it's so... If either one of you could swim, or could you go to a phone or something like that?
Then he wants us to go to the telephone.
Well, by the time we get to the phone, it'll be... Well, I'll try.
Phone is out on the veranda for the summer.
It'll take
her quite a while to get there.
In that case, then, so long.
All right. Did you have the toasted ham, or did you want the plain?
Just the plain for me. Too bad about his boat.
Yes, but it's always fun here by the seawall.
You have been listening to One Fella's Family, brought to you as a sustaining feature here on the Bob and Ray Show. Today's episode, entitled By the Seawall, was taken from book V.I., chapter I-I-V-I-I-X-I-V-I-I. One Fella's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messy. This is a Messy production. And now to last Vegas, Nevada, and Wally Ballou.
Wally Ballou speaking from fabulous Las Vegas. Fun spot. People from all over the United States. We're standing in the lobby of the Club Tumbleweed, Las Vegas' newest emporium, a beautiful hotel, expertly appointed, I would say, and I'm chatting with the manager, who has high hopes that this first season will be a great send-off to the club. I wonder, Harvey, if you'd come over here and tell us a little bit about your plans for the future.
Well, I'm looking forward to what I hope will be a wonderful year here at my new club. And
somebody's shushing you there.
Yes. Well, we should talk a little more. The club here that I've opened, Wally, will feature more or less a relaxed atmosphere. There will be...
We're broadcasting this, lady.
There will be, for instance, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, there is reveille, and all the guests file out into the hall,
uh-huh.
And then march downstairs into the lobby, and we'll go out for a short 4 or 5 mile hike before we come back for an all vegetable breakfast.
I see. You concentrate them on healthful activities here. I hear beautiful music in the background.
Yes, it's a lovely organization that I have here playing music. Up until 7:15 at night. Of course, it's lights out at 8 o'clock.
That's everybody's what I understood.
Tucked away, Betty, bye-bye.
Go to bed. Over here, I see a very beautifully appointed bar. Could you tell us something about this?
Yes. This bar, you can buy any fruit or vegetable juice that you'd want or could ever desire.
I think you told me warm milk is served from 7:30 to 8.
Warm milk with small common crackers.
On the bulletin board, I see that Saturday is bird watching time.
Well,
bird expert.
That will be part of the hike on Saturday. We come back, Monday through Friday, and when we come back from the morning hike, we have our vegetable breakfast.
Uh-oh, somebody...
What are you doing?
Somebody dropped a glass of fruit
juice.
Didn't like
the cut of his jib when he signed in here last night.
How many guests do you have at the present time here in Las Vegas at your club?
Six. Six.
Six, eh?
Yes.
And reservations for how many more?
Well, we don't have any more reservations. We're hoping that by this broadcast, that is...
I'm sure it'll sound good to a great many people. Good luck here at the Tumbleweed in fabulous Las Vegas.
Get him
a real
out of here.
Fun spot. And now back to Bob and Ray in New York.
Thank you. Back here in New York, it's time to present a feature sound. And we'll be back in just 10 seconds.
Now then, here's a preview of tomorrow's featured sound.
And until then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
The Giants versus the Rams, exclusive professional football Saturday on the CBS Radio Network.